is Side Podcast, episode 14, part 1, Malaysia qualifying.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Not too bad.
Had a good week?
Yeah, you?
Yeah, not so bad actually. I mean, the start of the season, you know, the Australian Grand Prix.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a mad build-up that week.
Yes.
It's quite an exhausting week. By the time we come to the race, a bit worn out.
Mm-hmm.
But this race, much better.
Not too early.
Not too early this week.
No.
Much happier.
It makes all the difference in the world when you're not awake at 3 a.m.
It does. So, free practice.
Yes, Friday free practice.
How was it?
Well, all the teams were out really quickly, which is a bit of a surprise because they've been testing there all week.
Yes.
If it was busy this Friday, when they've been testing there all week, think what it's going to be like on future Fridays.
It does bode well for visitors of the Grand Prix.
Mm.
So what was news then on Friday?
Honda's very bad.
Right. Woefully
Throughout
off the pace.
The whole thing, they were just rubbish.
Really?
Yeah.
They said in testing they maybe thought they took a step forward, but I'm thinking maybe they took a step back.
Backwards, yeah. I think they've got their directions wrong.
Yes. Who else was out there?
Well, Coulthard wasn't. He spent a lot of time in the garage.
He did in free practice one, didn't he? There was some mechanical gremlins keeping him at bay. He didn't go out till the very last minutes.
Gremlins?
Yes. Not actual gremlins.
Oh, okay.
Mechanical problems.
But it was the main four on top, wasn't it? Massa.
Yep.
Alonso, Hamilton, Raikkonen.
Fair enough.
The main four.
Okay. The expected four.
Yes.
What about free practice two?
Well, Renault seemed to be doing really well, but could have been they benefited from a red flag.
Yes, because they managed to get the last tyre running before the red flag came out. Alba's right rear tyre exploded, and then he stopped on track, which caused the red flag to appear.
Not all the rest of the teams managed to get a time.
No, so it kind of flattered Renault a little bit, and we had high expectations of them coming out of that. But Super Agueras, they didn't look good, did they?
No, not quite as fast as they had been.
Where did they end up? They were
14th and 18th.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Coulthard was only just above them in 13th, but, you know, at least he was out in the garage. No gremlins.
No.
Williams were doing well. They looked to have overtaken BMW.
Why is that?
Well, we suppose that BMW have suffered with this whole floor thing.
Yeah, it hasn't slowed down Ferrari much, has it? Maybe
not
a bit.
Not at all.
Maybe really. Like a few tenths here and there.
Yeah.
BMW certainly don't seem to have the pace they had in the first weekend.
Yeah, because at the end, Massa still on top.
Yeah.
Fisichella, Kovalainen, and then Raikkonen.
Blimey.
Can I tell you something funny?
Go on.
In the press conference after Friday practice, picture the scene, you know, all those journalists and everything. Flavio Briatore stands up to talk, you know, about his team.
Okay.
When asked how he was coping with the loss of Alonso to McLaren, he said, I won't do the Italian accent. I'm not good enough for that.
Oh.
You turn the page and you try to do the best you can. And at this moment, everybody is motivated to give the best to Fernando and Heike.
Fernando?
I mean, Giancarlo. I'm sorry. He, you know, looks a bit embarrassed and says sorry again. And in the background, Fisichella. Poor lad.
No.
He's sat there looking very uncomfortable.
Fisichella was in the press conference as well.
Yeah.
And he says Fernando.
Fernando and Heike. Oh my God, how embarrassing.
That is wishful thinking on his part, isn't it?
I find that very funny. But he's followed by Jean Todt, who stands up, same press conference, all the journalists.
Yep.
He's asked about Kimi's engine change and he says, the whole rumour, again, I won't do the accent.
No,
the whole
not the French.
No.
Okay.
The whole rumour started from speculation. It is true to say that at the end of the Australian Grand Prix, on the last laps, Michael...
Right!
Briatore was like, phew, I'm not the only one.
Did he say that?
I think so. What's wrong with them?
I don't know.
Is it wishful thinking or are they just stupid?
I don't know. Was Raikkonen in that conference as well?
Yeah, he was.
What
yeah.
did he say?
He was sat like a few seats behind
they
him.
They must have been gutted.
I would have stormed out if that was me. Can't believe it.
Oops. Oh, well. So that was Friday. Come Saturday, we've got the final free practice. In this practice, they have to use the race engines that they're using over the two-weekend period. So there's not going to be so much running on a Saturday morning. Ferrari claimed that Raikkonen's engine that was suffering at the end of the last race wouldn't be a problem in this race. But he didn't do as many laps as Massa. So they're obviously sort of taking it a bit carefully.
Taking it easy.
Yeah, they're not that confident, or they're not as confident as they appear to be on the outside. And Raikkonen say it's going to be fine, because they certainly ran less laps than Massa did. Honda.
Again, bad.
Yes.
I think it's about time we stop talking about Honda.
Should we just write them off? Pretend they're not there.
Like, you know, we don't talk about Spyker that much because what's there to say?
There isn't a lot to say, but 17th and 19th.
Mm.
That's bad.
It's depressing. They did an interview with Jensen on the ITV and he was so depressed.
Was he?
He was just, I mean, it made me want to cry.
Really?
So depressed.
He's going to regret that decision to stick with Honda, isn't he? He must be right now thinking, lordy, well, I could have gone to Williams for a year. I could be anywhere but here.
I mean, it's not like Williams are doing much better, but the potential to move on after that.
It was a 1 year deal with Williams, so, you know, he could have gone elsewhere this year. And Barrichello's probably ruined the move from Ferrari.
Oh, I don't know. Barrichello's probably just happy to have a drive.
Yeah.
But he'd wish he was doing better.
So the only people they're really in front of are the Spyker team. They had a much talked about aero upgrade this week.
That's why they went at testing.
Yeah, they missed out the test, the Sepang test. They stayed in the UK to work on their aero bits. But it doesn't seem to have made much difference.
No, and of course missing the test won't have helped.
No, they are struggling slightly in that regard. The end result of the free practice was Hamilton to Massa to Alonso to Kubica.
So in the first session of qualifying, Alonso left it to the last minute, as he always does, keeps us on the edge of our seat.
Were you worried then?
I was worried.
Where is
it
he?
It said Alonso in the dropout six, and I'm like, what's going on? But of course, you knew he would come out, because he always does.
He likes to leave it then, yeah.
But it worked, because he ended up on the top, didn't he?
He did. He finished first ahead of teammate Hamilton, and they seem to have a much better qualifying car than they did last race.
Wirtz failed to make the cut because of gearbox difficulties. They were looking quite good, but obviously not good enough.
No, they were quite fast in free practice. It looks like they might be able to get into the top 10. So I guess he was a bit gutted about that one.
Davidson was complaining of traffic all the way around.
Right.
But I'm not sure he was fast enough anyway.
Okay.
And we also lost one of the Hondas, both Spykers, and a Toro Rosso. During the break, there was a possibility of rain. Everyone was talking about it. So all the drivers flew out of the pit lane as soon as they could. Alonso was the first to go, and again, he ended up on top. Yep. So either way, whether he starts late or starts at the top, at the front,
yep,
he ends up first.
He does. He led Massa, followed by Hamilton. We lost both Renaults in this session.
Yeah, but they were so close together, weren't they?
I mean, you have to be said, their drivers probably got the maximum that their car was going to deliver today. That is just, the team must be gutted.
They were 11th and 12th, and their times were a hundredth of a second.
I don't remember.
Of each other.
I don't remember a time in this new qualifying style format that both Renaults have failed to make the cut. I think that must be a first, and they must be absolutely shocked. Because, as we said, free practice on Friday, they were top of the timesheets almost.
But suddenly, it was deceiving, obviously.
It was deceiving, and there they ended up.
We also lost the other Honda, the other Super Aguri, the other Toro Rosso, and David Coulthard.
Oh dear. But not Webber.
No, Webber made it into the top 10.
That's the second time that he's beaten his teammate.
He didn't make it much further than the top 10, though.
Did he not? Oh dear. But still, that's quite an achievement on Webber's part. I mean, we expected Webber to be better than Coulthard in qualifying, because Coulthard's a little bit shocking.
Well, Webber's like one of those qualifying specialists.
Yes, people, and Coulthard's the exact opposite of that. But that's quite significant.
It seemed to me that the third session was almost like a mini race.
Why is that?
Because Alonso, when they first came out, Alonso was racing Hamilton at the corner.
Yes.
Kind of like he did with Schumacher last year.
Yep.
And then it all came down to like the pit stops.
Yes.
Really. It was like watching a little race.
He did put in some really fast times in the last session. I mean, normally it's a fuel burning exercise, and for 10 laps they just sort of pootle around very slowly, trying to conserve as much fuel as they can. Alonso, he was putting in some pretty fast times. Maybe he was trying to test the car under race conditions, or maybe he just wanted to see what difference the setup changes made. I don't know, but it was unusual to see a car going so quickly.
And Massa as well.
Yes.
He was going quite fast.
He put in some quick times too, didn't he?
I mean, they were practicing with a heavy fuel load, maybe.
Yeah. So what happened to the pit stops?
Well, Raikkonen jumped Alonso.
Right.
But McLaren did manage to get Hamilton out in front of Massa.
Okay. But McLaren did seem quite slow with the whole pit stops, didn't they?
Well, it's either that or the Ferrari pit crew are that good.
They might be that good, actually. Yes.
Raikkonen took the lead, and then behind him came Alonso, who took the lead.
Almost immediately, yep.
And then Hamilton sneaked in behind the two of them,
yep,
followed by Massa, who came in and took the lead. It was like a flurry of cars, and they just took the lead one after the other.
Yeah, Massa took it right down to the wire, didn't he? It was almost unexpected. When Raikkonen went across fast and Alonso was a bit quicker, you're like, okay, that's one, two, and three. And then out of nowhere, in comes Massa with a flying lap.
Again, it was like the top four.
Yes.
Drivers, they seem to be miles away from,
yeah,
everyone else.
I mean, those two teams are leaps and bounds ahead of the other team, aren't they? I mean, who's the nearest competition now?
Well, after them came Heidfeld and then Rosberg.
Right.
Who did well to get ahead of both the Toyotas.
Yes.
Then Kubica, but that's because he did his final run earlier than everyone else, so the track conditions weren't perfect.
Okay.
Then Trulli and Ralf together, and then Webber in 10th.
who was almost 2 seconds behind pole.
Yeah, so like I said, he didn't do much better than
He must have just gone out and just decided that 10th place was the most he was going to do, and he was happy with it.
Why did he bother going out at all, really? So the race tomorrow starts at 3 p.m. local time, which is 8 a.m. here.
Phew.
And they're predicting some rain, aren't they?
Showers at some point during the race.
Is that going to screw up the tyre thing then?
Well, you know, they've got these new stripes on the soft tyre.
Yeah.
So you can tell the difference which tyre the team are running.
Yeah.
If it rains, all that goes out the window. And if any point during the race a team using a wet or extreme wet tyres, they're not obliged to run both types of tyres as they normally would
do. So you can use whatever, basically.
Yeah. So you can almost expect that entire thing to go flying out the window. Should open some interesting strategic possibilities, though, if teams expect there to be rain, and they have some pretty good weather-predicting equipment they turn up to the tracks with. So if they think it's going
to
rain...
Right, to the nearest second, sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, well, certainly to the nearest minute. And if they think it's going to rain, they probably will do. And therefore, if they know they're not going to have to use the option tyre, and they can just stick with the prime tyre, it should give them slightly more leeway to work with their strategies.
So it'll be interesting.
It's going to be, yeah, it should be a great race. Rain always makes a great race, does it not?
It does. There's good news for fans attending races this year, though.
It's about time there should be. What's news?
Kangaroo TV have announced that handheld media devices will be available to the public at every Grand Prix this season, which it's basically a little mini TV that shows you footage. You can choose your favourite driver and follow him around the track. You get footage from the cameras inside the car. You can listen to commentary, team radio.
Except from Ferrari, who won't let you hear their team radio.
And you can look at live stats, and it's got all this background information about the tracks and the drivers and the teams and all sorts of things on there.
It does actually highlight one flaw in the current TV setup, in that not every car carries an onboard camera.
I'm not
entirely sure why that is. It can't be because of expense, surely. But if you have one of these handheld devices and your favourite driver doesn't have an onboard camera, you kind of miss out on that section, which is a shame.
No, I mean, they say that if it's not available, you can just have a mixed feed of everyone else, but that kind of misses the point of your favourite driver and following him.
It does. I don't think it's Kangaroo TV's fault, though.
I want one for my house.
Yes.
Can I have one, please?
Tell me why this information isn't available on the web. If this information is available to every single person who's around the circuit, surely just stick it on a satellite feed, put it up on the internet, we can all see it.
I can't imagine how people went to races before and survived without it. It looks perfect.
Depending on which racetrack you attended, it's possible that you could pick a corner and the only thing you'd see of the whole day would be that one corner. And it'd be anyone's guess when the cars came round. You'd have to kind of say, well, what position they're in now? And suddenly there'd be a car's missing. You'd think, well, what happened? And you kind of have to listen to the commentator on the big speakers to try and figure out what was going on. So this is a great boost.
Take a radio with you.
Or yes. Or a laptop, maybe.
Well, Bernie Eccleston, he's impressed.
Yes.
He said, it's outstanding and yet another example of how F1 intends to remain at the forefront of technology, performance and motorsport.
Okay, that's not true.
No, not at all.
Hasn't it been available in NASCAR for years?
October 2004.
Kangaroo TV debuted.
Yeah.
In the States.
Yeah.
For anyone watching NASCAR races.
And NASCAR is available on the web.
Yes. You can pick, you have your same kind of thing where you pick your driver and you follow the driver on the internet. So cutting edge and forefront of technology, Formula One certainly isn't in this case, but still good for the fans, right?
Yeah. So until then, I guess we'll just have to watch it on the telly.
It'll have to do, won't it?
Yeah. Which we will be doing tomorrow. And live vlogging, as usual.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you there.
Okay.